It is Monday morning. That means we check in with our good friend, Captain Steve Kellums from the Bloomington Police Department. Captain Kellums, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Glass. Good morning, Margaret.
Good
See,
morning.
Margaret, I pronounced your name properly this morning, too. So
that's right. Now, let's not start keeping score here.
I need all the help I can get.
I'll get my whiteboard up in my, you know, like the guys that sit in the prison cell in the old movies where they'd put the slash,
now,
and then they.
I have a new chalkboard at the shop, so we'll start doing
chalkboard.
It there.
Oh, my gosh.
I did old school, and it's really cool. It's like one of those ones on wheels and stuff. Really big chalkboard. I'm so excited.
We won't mess with anything because I'm left-handed, so that means everything that I write on a dry erase board gets erased.
Oh, it
or
explains
a chalkboard.
Everything now. Well, I did not realize you were left-handed.
All
How did I miss that?
All the great ones are.
My father was.
There you go. Captain Kellums is with us this morning as he checks in and talks about what's happening with the Bloomington Police Department, things going on in our community. And before we get into the, obviously, yesterday's front page article of the Herald Times, the headline reads, Chief Worried About Staffing. We'll get to that momentarily. But since I've spoken to you last, you've had a very busy couple of weeks. And Margaret, even last week, let's just go in chronological order. How was the teen camp? I drove by it every day. I saw the sign out there in front of the training center on South Walnut across from Toyota. Saw you had a ton of great sponsors. Tell me about how your week went.
You know, we had such a great time. We talked about this last week and really, really just enjoyed the entire week we had with the kids. Excuse me. It was the largest academy we've had yet, so we had 51 kids there, and we were able to do all of it with community sponsorship, which was a tremendous amount of help for us, and we just had a fantastic time. I've already started planning for next year.
Why do you think the turnout was bigger this year than previous years, just because this event is getting more momentum as it continues to go on each summer?
No, it was because of us, Glass.
Well, there you go.
That's right. It was because, actually, I think it was a couple of things, and one of them is momentum. Actually, I didn't have as many applications early as I thought I would, and I started to get worried. But then at the end, a bunch of them came in. And I think it was momentum. It was getting the word out. It was things like this radio show. So just really happy for all the community support and help that we got. And we hope to continue and have another great one next year.
Now, you've got another thing coming up really soon. And I think we need to make sure folks know about this so you can have a great turnout for it also. The Citizen Academy?
Citizens Academy, yes. We're going to start that first week of September, so I recommend that if you're interested in that, get your applications in right away. You can go online to the Bloomington Police Department website that the city has, and you can find a copy of the application and download that and send that in to us. We do have a limited number of spaces for that. Now, we've been putting on our Citizens Academy for almost 20 years now, I think. And during that time, we've had a great opportunity to reach out and talk to a variety of people in the community and just explain what it is that we do. And they'll get to experience and see a lot of those demonstrations, talk to a lot of officers and detectives, and just kind of find out how we're organized, how we respond to certain things, why we do some of the things we do, and how it all fits together and how it fits together in the community. So we always have a good time putting that on, too. That went Tuesday night through September all the way up to Thanksgiving. And it's about 2.5 hours from 6 to 8:30.
And what does it cost people?
It's free.
There you go. So if you're interested, it's free. Now, you did have a wonderful event just from the photos. It looks like it was so much fun at the warehouse this past week. So tell us about the National Night Out.
Yeah, National Night Out. You know, I'm glad you guys are here to remind me of all this stuff because
it starts to roll together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, see, Monday's not as easy as it seems, is it?
It isn't. Monday mornings are hard. So I just got to tell people that, you know, you guys got me out of the way first of the week, make it difficult on me. The National Night Out is a program that's been going on for a long time now as well. And with that originally started as an idea to get communities out into their neighborhoods and to meet people and take the streets back from criminals. And it's developed over the years into a real community organization event. Now, generally in Bloomington, we've kind of avoided that date in the 1st of August because it's so hot. And usually the weather is so bad and it's just uncomfortable to be outside that we have pushed the date back to a alternate date in the fall, which is what most of the southern states do because of the heat. And this year, our last couple of years, we've decided to really get back involved with the actual date of National Night Out. and we were so lucky to get the warehouse to work with us. They have a tremendous venue, and we had a great time. We had a lot, again, community donations and sponsors, and with the help of the warehouse, we were able to put on a really wonderful event. We had officers out there, squad cars. We had our canine unit, our SWAT team, our dive team, our explorers were all out there with tables and demonstrations, and we had people come out and talk to us and look at some of our gear and say hi. Played a little bit of basketball with the kids. And then, of course, the warehouse had a lot of events going on for kids as well. Some bouncy houses and food trucks and things like that.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like it was a really good time.
And then you left out one important part that they had, air conditioning.
Well, only part of it had air conditioning. Yeah. The area we were in did not have air conditioning, so it was a little warm back there.
So you did leave out the air conditioning.
We were out of the sun. Yeah.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. He checks in with us, whether it's air conditioned or not, most Mondays, and we get caught up with him on what's happening here in Bloomington. Obviously, with our police department and everything else, we know that school has started in the RBB, which covers the other part of the county. We know school is going to start Wednesday. How does that translate for your group? Obviously, we're going to have new traffic patterns. We're going to have people on the road at different times.
Well, and we've
times.
Got the students coming back for IU, too.
Well, that's in 2 weeks. We're this week.
No, they have already started coming back, Lass. they have. They've already started
apartments.
To move in. I've seen all the trucks.
So any question you want to answer, Captain Kellums, go ahead and pick. We'll have a multiple choice for you today.
You know, the coming back, everybody just needs to keep an eye out for those buses, those school stops, those school crossings. We've got our crossing guards out now. We had a meeting last week, and we always bring in crossing guards for the season and get them back involved in school to try to help get the kids to school. We just want people to slow down, take extra time. It's going to take longer to get to work than it has in the past or over the summer because those schools back in session, and watch out for those school buses, those stop arms. There's going to be lots of stops and kids getting on and off and moving across the streets, and we just want people to pay attention and take their time. That it does affect traffic flow. We try to get our officers down into those areas, try to keep an eye out on the problems, and again, we have crossing guards in all those locations. We also, with school starting up, we always try to do a program of getting our officers out to the schools, generally in the mornings and at the end of school during those pickup drop-off times. Get them out walking through the hallways, meeting kids. It's something we've been doing for about 10 years now, and continue to do that whenever we have availability, is to get them out in those areas. So you'll start seeing some officers in some of those areas as well. But if you live near those school zones and you're aware of this, you know this is coming, just remind yourself school's starting back up on Wednesday for MCCSC. And if you're out in the county, RBB's already started up.
Now, we've seen it obviously in Sunday's paper. You're worried about staffing, but you just told me you're going to send crossing guards out there. How do you juggle all those balls? And are you required, or do you have an agreement that says you guys need to help provide the crossing guards at some of these schools?
You know, it's something we've done for a long time. It is a little bit of an agreement we have with MCCSC and that we've been doing now for a very long time. And so we continue to bring in those seasonal employees to provide those crossing guard options for the schools. So far that's something that we've been able to do and handle. It's actually managed through our parking enforcement division. They're the ones that handle those crossing guards. So and as seasonal employees also. And that's just another one of those things that we've reached out and tried to find all the different opportunities to help the community. And I think I've said this before, is that we do so much, we do a lot in the community, and we want to do those things. We want to keep doing those things, and we want to keep providing those services that we provide because we're here for the community. And it's all a big juggling act. And again, it's part of the conversations that we've had for the last, almost 2 years now, the juggling act of resources and where to put them, where to place them, and how to get the biggest bang for our buck out of them.
And Abby Tonsing's article in yesterday's paper showed kind of a comparison to what your staffing is as opposed to other either cities of the same size in the state or Big Ten cities. Did you have a chance to look at the article?
I did. I did read through the article this weekend.
And everything that's in there, it's the one thing that jumped out to me was it seems like not everybody counts things the same way. What determines who falls into what categories when you do these? Because you don't want to be, if you're going to do a comparison, I don't think apples to grapefruits is something you want to do.
Well, and and as she pointed out in the article, all the information in the article she's taken from the Uniform Crime Report, which is a national FBI-funded project in which police departments voluntarily report everything from crimes to population to staffing levels. And that's been managed by the FBI for even before I was in law enforcement. So it's been going on for a very long time. They even say at the beginning of the UCR is that they do not recommend using these numbers in comparisons, mostly because of it is self-reporting. And it's kind of hard to say what counts for what. And so whenever we look at that, we always kind of have to balance that with the idea that not everybody's counting apples. Sometimes they're counting apples and oranges. And we try to keep that in mind when we put this together. But also at the same time, I do think it gives us a little bit of a yardstick to give an idea of where things are. And as long as we keep in mind that this is not an exact science, that it's just an area to keep us in that can give us a feeling for where we might be or where we should be.
Well, and one of the things that they were talking about in the article is that there was a need for more officers, obviously. But one of the counters to that is that it seems like maybe we are top heavy in administrative people. I don't expect you to make, you know, get yourself into trouble with this. But, you know, we've talked about it for a while, and there does seem to be a real need in the community for more officers. And I think that, you know, it might help our listeners if you explain that the part about the officers and the need there.
Well, I think that, you know, you talk about being top heavy and again, percentages as rough ballparks. What I find, part of the things that I do traveling around the country and doing some teaching on the side in law enforcement circles, I've had an opportunity to work at and see and visit a lot of different police departments. And I find that the majority of police departments typically run about 30% in the administration side. Then they will run about 20% of their staffing in some kind of detectives, or actually almost 30% will be running some kind of detective or special operations groups. And those are officers that do full-time jobs that aren't involving patrol, which generally leaves about 40% of a police department's resources are in those patrol divisions that are out every day driving around the streets and trying to do those types of patrols and responding for calls for service. That seems really common across the United States. And one of the things I did notice in Abby's article talked about the expert she spoke to, in which the expert said that a lot of times police departments aren't efficiently using their manpower, and that's exactly what he's talking about. When only 40% of your staffing is on the road, there's a 60% of that is doing other things behind the scenes, and that's not very efficient. At our department, we have almost 70% of our staffing is in the patrol division.
Wow.
So we're very different from the rest of the...
Wow.
We have anywhere from, of course, injuries and sick time and all that can make a difference into effective work in that area, but anywhere from 60 to almost 70% of our officers are in that patrol division. Of our 100 officers, only 5 of us are considered administration. In other words, we don't take calls for service. We deal with administrative issues. That's Chief, the Deputy Chief, Scott Oldham, the Captain of Operations, and then me as Captain of Administration, and we have one sergeant that's involved responsible for training our department. And he's our training coordinator. So that's only 5% of those 100 officers.
That seems very efficient.
Administration.
And that's not enough.
Very efficient. It's too efficient. It's very efficient. And we definitely, from the administration side, all the way down, we need more manpower to kind of help fill these gaps and these blocks, because if I take sick for a couple of days, nobody's there to pick up the slack of that work. Same way with the officers. When an officer calls in sick, or an officer has military leave, or an officer gets injured on duty, or has to go for some kind of training, that comes away from that those resources we have to put on the street immediately, and there's no opportunity to backfill for that because there's no wiggle room right now. And so those are the types of resource issues that we're dealing with and that we continue to juggle and balance every day, actually. And even our sergeants and lieutenants who administer and manage those shifts, they take calls for service. My afternoon shift lieutenant, when I was on afternoon shift, it was not uncommon for me to take 6 or 7 calls for service a day on top of the administrative duties. So it's very thin.
So is the reason why it's very thin because you guys haven't been hiring, or is it very thin because there hasn't been enough applicants, or what is the story? Because I've been under the impression that you have the ability to at least put five more people in place. Is correct. what's going on with that?
Well, you've got to understand, you know, as a bureaucracy and a government agency, I'm not allowed to hire in advance. So I can't hire till someone leaves. And it takes approximately 4 months, anywhere from 3 to 4 months, for me to actually do a hiring process. And then it's going to take, if they do not have the police academy, that's another 4 month police academy training. And then we have a 4 or 5 month field training officer program. So it takes a year for me to bring an officer up to speed and on the job after someone leaves. So that's what you're seeing, is that backlog. We have four open positions right now. I'm anticipating a fifth with a retirement, and and with those open positions, I probably won't bring those officers in and get that position actually filled with a competent police officer that can go out and do the job by themselves for almost a year. And so anybody that leaves after that just continues to build up. I have just put 9 officers through training, and I have four officers in my field training program right now, and trying to get those up to speed. Hopefully they'll be out of that field training program by the fall, and they'll be effective, efficient officers for us.
Is that a budget issue? Is that because of limited funds that it has to go that direction? You have to wait till somebody leaves before you can train them?
Yes, because, well, I can't hire them until they're off payroll so I can fill their spot, because we're only have budgeted to have X number of officers. So once that person leaves and I have X minus one, now I can hire because now I have the payroll to pay them.
Even though you know they're going to retire in 6 months, you can't get ahead of the game because you don't have the payroll to pay them.
Correct.
Okay, so we might need to take a look at how that works out.
Oh, we're not. That's not different than anyone else in the government bureaucracy. That's just the way it works.
I think some people will argue that public safety is a little bit more important than what happens at blank institution there. So we'll make that argument for you. Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. The final quote of the article from Abby Tonsing's front page article yesterday in HT, John Hamilton, Mayor Hamilton, says, fundamentally, this is not a law enforcement challenge, he says, talking about the complete things that are going on. I don't think it's not a law enforcement challenge.
Yeah, really.
Everything's a challenge. His point is it's part of a bigger thing than just a police challenge, so to speak. But
boy,
until
it's
you
sure
have,
landing on their shoulders an awful lot more than anywhere else is what I'm saying.
I think the part of this is with the budget you have, and I know you can't talk about budget numbers, but increasing that budget for a short term, I don't know, what are we calling this, a crisis or emergency? Is that something you have to look at, or is pushed on? Say, we weren't dealing with this 2 years ago. Now we are, so it's not apples and oranges.
Well, I think that when you talk about emergencies or crisis, what we have to look at is in a historical perspective. And even if the mayor came out tomorrow and said that we could hire 50 police officers, I couldn't get them hired and trained.
And they would be a year before they'd be on the force. Is that correct? Or is it possible to hire people who have already been trained?
Well, it is possible, and that speeds up the academy portion, but I still have a field training program and the hiring process itself. So I'm still looking at, even with trained prior law enforcement personnel from other agencies, I'm still looking at about an 8 month to 9 month turnaround.
Wow.
Before they're ready to go, as opposed to a year. And so this is a process or an issue, I think, that has to be looked at in a whole. You have to look at that whole budgeting process, and I think that's what the mayor is referring to, is that this is a large government issue and budget issue, and you have to look at long-term solutions to the problem, because, again, if he came in tomorrow and said, you can have 50 more cops, I'd love it, but I don't know where I would find them or how you get them trained.
But that would be at least a start to.
Well, I'm not sure 50 is. I mean, that would be, I guess, really amazing. But it would be nice if we had at least the number of 20.
That's all budget. That's all if you can afford to do it, and that's the part that goes with it.
There's been a lot of things going on that hopefully the city council will look at this a little bit differently, one would hope.
That quote suggests that it's a larger problem, and that money needs to be spread over multiple arms, so to speak, to handle this issue. Captain Kellums, as we move forward here, obviously the budget, obviously the training, all that stuff you'll talk about with us every single week. We know that there is no downtime in Bloomington, and those numbers really reinforce that. We talk about that here on this program, but when you see the average as opposed to the big cities or some different Big Ten cities, we're working pretty hard, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I've said it before. Our guys are some of the hardest working best officers in the United States. And, you know, they come in every day to work and they go to work and they do the best they can to keep the community safe. And you know what? I have to say that for all of our government employees here, everybody at the city that I work with from all the variety of different departments, you know, they all come in and work very hard to keep Bloomington moving. It's not a small town anymore. It's a big city. And I think that as we move into those big city problems and those big city growing pains, we continue to see some of these same issues across the board. And while we are clamoring and asking for more personnel and more people, everybody else is doing the same thing. So it's a challenge, and it's something that we continue to work on every day. But our guys come in and they work really, really hard.
Well, and the good news is, too, the first 7 days of August, they're not 98 degrees every day either. So
there you go. So hopefully that helps.
When you're not in body armor.
Oof, yep. It does make a difference. Helps. And you guys make a difference, and we appreciate you sharing the insides and outs with it. Gives some people maybe a different perspective they don't always get, and we always appreciate your time here on Monday mornings.
Yeah, thank you.